There's a richly ironic pasuk at the very beginning of Parashat Balak, and it's one that we could easily miss, and it's one that we maybe appreciate even more with a look back to a much earlier story in Parashat Vayera. Lot is Malachim come to Lot to hurry him out of Sodom, but Lot's taking his time and he needs to gather his things and gather his people. And the Malachim are hurrying him. Finally, they convince him to leave, and just in the nick of time. And the cities, still the other cities, are disintegrating. Lot's wife turns around, Vatehinat says Melach. And then, before we expect the next pasuk to be about Lot and the daughters, now that the wife is left behind, they continue to escape, and they escape to the cave, and the whole incestuous story of Lot and his daughters ensues. But before we hear that, the pasuk seems to sort of split screen, and it suddenly shifts to Avraham Avinu for three psukim. The next morning, Avraham Avinu gets up early in the morning, and he's looking out over the whole area. He's on a mountaintop, it sounds like, looking out over the whole area that had been stone, and now it's just a smoky mess. And he had been davening yesterday, and the tefillah had not had the impact, obviously, that he had thought it would have. And the pasuk says, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu had destroyed Sodom, but had saved, had been kept Avraham Avinu in mind, and had saved Lot. A strange split screen. In the middle of the story, Lot's running away, his wife goes down, or is turned into salt, and then before we can continue, we need to hear about Avraham Avinu, and then back to Lot. What's with the back and forth? So Shechter quotes from the Rav a powerful drasha about how this is setting us up to appreciate what's about to happen. Lot's daughters think that they're about to save the world, think all civilization is gone, and it's only them and their fathers that need to take really extraordinary measures, but they're doing it to save the world. And so the Torah prefaces that by giving us an ounce of perspective. Just realize before you hear how Lot's daughters get carried away, let's zoom out for a moment and recognize not only is there an entire civilization hasn't been destroyed, they're not even, not only are they not the only humans left, they're not even left due to their own merits. It's all Avraham Avinu. So you zoom out to see that the whole world's still here. As a matter of fact, Avraham Avinu is the one who's been powering all of this. But they're sort of caught in a little bubble within their little narrow perspective. They think that they're the ones who are going to save the world. They think that they need to take the most extreme measures imaginable to, in their mind, save civilization. And that sort of irony pops up in the beginning of Parshas Balak as well. Melech Moav hires Balak, and most of the parshas about Balak's failed attempts to curse Klal Yisrael. But it's all driven by the parsha is all about Bilam's failed attempts to curse Klal Yisrael, but it's all driven by Balak, King Balak's concern that the Jews pose an imminent military threat. After all, the Jews had gone knocking on Edom, Ammon, Moab in their attempt to get across to cross westward towards the Yarden over to Eretz Canaan, and they had moved northward and north of Eretz Moab, they had conquered the northern half. The eastern bank of the Yarden, the land of Sichon and Og, heard about the conquest of Sichon in last week's Sedra, in Parashas Chukas, and now King Balak, the king of Moab, is terrified that the Jews are coming to knock on his door, they're going to attack next. And he sees there's no military solution, the only one is supernatural. They're going to eat me for lunch. They're going to munch us the way a cow munches grass. And then Balak hires Bilam in a failed attempt to curse Klal Yisrael. And the irony, as with the daughters of Lot, is that the solution didn't work, and the solution also wasn't even necessary. Because in fact, Klal Yisrael had been told by Ribbono Shel Olam that they can attack Canaan, like Sichon and Og, but they're not allowed to engage militarily with Edom, or Ammon, or Moab. So the truth is, the protection didn't work, and he didn't need the protection. Balak could have just left good well enough alone, and he would have been absolutely fine. Like with the daughters of Lot, there was no problem, but they were so caught within their own narrow provincial perspective that they thought there was an immense problem, only they could save it, and only with doing that which is really heinously criminal. And the same is true with King Balak. He goes to such extreme measures, to such hateful and extreme measures, to hire Bilam to curse Balak, to curse Klal Yisrael. He could have left well enough alone. Could have done the right thing. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu was taking care. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was taking care. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took care of Moab by telling Klal Yisrael not to attack them. And that's the only thing ultimately that saved them. They would have done better, in both cases, to do that which Rabbi Moshe wants, rather than stuck in their narrow perspective, convince themselves that to do the wrong thing in this case is correct. Kaddish.